Global warming's a bigger threat to the world than Saddam Hussein, or so says a very distinguished voice, that of Professor Holmes Rolston III, winner of the latest Templeton Prize, worth nearly $2 million Australian dollars. The award's made for raising awareness of how scientific research can lead to discoveries about spirituality. Previous winners include Mother Teresa and the Australian scientist Paul Davies. Holmes Rolston is a professor of philosophy at Colorado State University. A belated congratulations, Professor Rolston.
Thank you, sir. And don't forget the Australian ecologist, Charles Birch, who's also a winner.
Is he? And yes. A renowned Australian too, Charles Birch. Can I just pick up on that point that I began with? Why is global warming, in your mind, a bigger threat than Saddam Hussein?
Well, global warming's here for a century. Saddam Hussein will have long since been in the history books 50 years from now or 100 years from now. You need to think long term.
Of course, a figure like Saddam Hussein may well be the catalyst for a change in international relations, though, that could have profound long-term implications.
Well, that's possible. A figure like Hitler, let's say, did have profound world implications. But it's difficult to think of implications more important than the quality of our environment. I mean, I spoke of global warming, that's most obvious, but the threat to our environment on all scales, from escalating population, consumption, resource use, I think is far more of a threat to our children, our grandchildren, than Saddam Hussein or any world change he's likely to introduce.
I think you've said the four main challenges we face in this millennium are war and peace, that's one of them. As you say, escalating population, development, the environment. I mean, do you rank those or do you think those are equally threatening?
Well, they're all intertwined. I do put them in that order, and certainly the newsworthy stories are war and peace, and we worry about development. That's the global economy. But underneath, in the support system we have, we certainly need environment, our escalating numbers, the world population escalating dramatically. They're all quite intertwined. They come as a package.
Now, I think you've also said that your life's work really has been about trying to make peace between science and religion.
That's right, although I'm usually quick to add that I have to quarrel with some science, especially if it's sort of arguing that nature is value-free and to be exploited by humans. I have to quarrel with some theology. The theologians may also think that humans are here to have dominion over the planet. So I need to make peace between science and religion, but I also need to challenge some scientists and some theologians.
What about the notion that as science has advanced, religion has retreated?
Well, that's not a very helpful notion. The value questions that we face are as sharp and painful as they've ever been. And so, yes, we've had science for 400 years, but the value questions are as acute and painful as ever. And we see that, of course, on front page news now, the war and peace aspect. But, you know, what we ought to do in caring for the planet is not something that science has helped us solve that much. It points up the problem, but it doesn't tell us what we ought to do.
Of course, through science, humankind has had more and more dominion over the planet.
Through science, humans has had more and more dominion over the, more capacity for dominion over the planet. You're right, that's quite true. Through science, humans have more and more capacity to make war on each other, and a devastating capacity. Through science, we have lots of capacities, but just what and how we ought to employ those capacities, whether we ought to think of ourselves as masters of the planet, for example, or as trustees, might be a better way, or caretakers. All those problems are still with us, even though we've got lots of science.
Professor Rolston, I'm interested in your own background. I believe that you were brought up in a house without running water and electricity, the son of a rural Presbyterian pastor in quite poor Southwest Virginia. What impact has all of that had on your life?
Well, quite poor. Those people were poor in some ways. Now, we are talking, you know, I was born in the American Depression. We're talking a while back in that sense. Many people did not have electricity in those first days. They were poor in some sense, but they weren't poor in other senses. They had integrity. They in Virginia, they loved the gospel. They loved their landscape. They were farmers who knew how to live there. They'd lived there several hundred years. On the whole, they were probably happier than people living in the same country are right now. So they were materially poor, but they knew how to handle themselves on that landscape. And in that sense, their love of sort of gospel and landscape was quite formative, even though I had no electricity in those days.
We must leave it there. Congratulations again, and thank you very much for taking time to talk to us.
Thank you, sir.
Holmes Ralston III, who's a professor of philosophy at Colorado State University, and he's won the famous Templeton Prize, worth over $2 million Australian dollars. He's going to donate the money in the US.